Hi, everyone, and welcome to the fourth edition of our LIBOR podcast series. My name is Christopher Papathanassi. I'm the Global Solution Lead for the lending line of business here at Finastra. I'm here with my colleague, Antonio. Antonio, do you want to introduce yourself, please?
Yeah. Hi, Chris. Great to be with you in this fourth podcast about LIBOR. For the audience, my name is Antonio Vázquez de Parga. I work in Global Services team as Vice President for Corporate Banking line of business.
Thank you. So today's topic is really around the potential good that could come out of the LIBOR transition. I'll probably start by saying the majority of the conversations that I've been having here at Finastra with my clients have been more around the challenges that are faced with this transition. But I do think there is some good that could come out of it. And I think the first thing to highlight from my point of view is that we have already seen a SONIA-based loan issued in the market. What this suggests to me is that although the deadline for this transition is end of 2021, we are in fact seeing banks getting on board with this early and potentially see this as an opportunity to bring a new product to market ahead of the competition.
Yes, Chris. As you say, some people may think that this transition to risk-free rates is a must-do, some kind of forced regulatory change. And we wonder why, knowing that it seems to be a quite complex task. Some people are even saying that this is one of the biggest transformation program in many firms for a long period. But I think today what we want to focus is in the opportunity that it represents, in particular from a business perspective terms. And it can, and I believe it can be seen as a one to do. And there will be a unique one in a lifetime opportunity to see a full suite of replacement products coming to the market, rethink the customer proposition for new businesses, and those banks that will be arriving first to the change will be the ones clearly gaining the most. Clearly an opportunity to innovate better serve the customers.
Yep. And if we also look at, I guess, the deadline that's been set, end 2021, that's really in relation to existing credit. Now, Andrew Bailey has specified that for new credit, they're encouraging banks to actually issue to no longer be issuing LIBOR loans after Q3 2020. So from that point of view, I think there is an even shorter space of time in which banks have to get organized for this and potentially use this to their advantage, as in, again, getting ahead of the market and bringing these new products to their customer base.
Yeah, I mean, as the pace of activity accelerates and we get closer to the date Q3 2020 for new business is being, as you mentioned, already heard, there is going to be an increase of interest from lenders and borrowers of taking advantage of this change and this opportunity.
And when we look at, I guess, the amount of change that needs to take place, it's quite broad. So here at Finastra, we're very much focused on helping our customers from a system point of view, and also with respect to some of the areas of impact around implementation. But you've got to look also at how you deal with your customers, making sure that customers are well informed of the up and coming changes. So client remediation, there's going to be big exercise around contract repapering and making sure that the new alternative reference rates are included in credit agreements, and that's all outside of what needs to take place in a system. So a lot to do, but actually, when you look at it, this is a good opportunity for banks to start re-engaging with their customers, and quite possibly put in place new terms that may be mutually beneficial?
Yeah, as firms mobilize their program and consider the unique characteristics they will underpin a delivery plan, no? That will have a lot of implications in many, many areas of the banks, and therefore many areas will leverage this change to improve the way they currently work from a technical perspective, from a operational perspective, and there is going to be a huge and wide implications, no? From retail, commercial, investment banking, insurance. I think all the business units are going to be impacted, but not only the business units, no? Also central and control units like finance, IT, legal, tax, or treasury, no? Many areas that will be highly affected and impacted with the change will take this opportunity to improve the way they work and improve their processes.
Yeah, and then on that point around process, a lot of the bank's processes are derived from their system landscape. And we often find that banks operate within quite fragmented system landscapes. And a lot of our customers have informed us that they have portfolios of loans that are benchmarked to LIBOR sitting in different disparate systems. And I think this is a fantastic opportunity that presents itself to actually start to simplify system landscapes and leverage a system, for example, like LoanIQ, that could handle, from a servicing point of view, all of the bank's lending portfolios. And that in itself then can provide a single source of truth for all lending data, which can then be used for the benefit of the business.
Yeah, I mean, and from a global service perspective, we have a wide portfolio of services that we can support our customers with, no? During this LIBOR transition. But we also have ad hoc services like automatic testing, training, and many others to support our customers during this transition.
Great. And then on the software side, we've just released our alternative reference rate module in version 7.1751 of LoanIQ. So if you want to learn more, please do get in touch. But I think that's all we've got time for now. So that concludes the fourth edition of the LIBOR podcast series. Please do tune in for the final edition. And thank you very much. Have a good day.